from Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 9 to 14. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads and like nails, firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, be aware of anything beyond these. Of making many books, there's no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. So here we are at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. This is the grand finale. We started way back when with meaningless, meaningless. And today we find out how the story ends. What is the conclusion to this great book? Now you may recall the scenario that we set up at the beginning of this series. We imagined a scene with Solomon going down one road after another, searching for meaning in life. You remember? We imagined standing in a big open field with roads stretching out all around us, all leading off into the horizon. Each road representing a particular search for meaning in life. And we imagined Solomon going down one road after another, always coming back empty, looking for answers but finding nothing. Each road was a dead end. He tried pleasure and laughter and alcohol and sex and power, accomplishments, possessions, fame, everything he could think of. He said, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure. And all he found was vanity at every turn. Death always robbed him of any hope that he thought he had found, any meaning he thought he had found. It was vain. But then we imagine Solomon going down one particular road, and he did not return, because he had found it. He had found the meaning of life, and by doing so, he had found joy, the great of the Christian, that promise of love which gives power over the problem of evil and suffering in this world, joy, the great gift of God. The promise of joy was the means by which Jesus himself endured the cross. The Bible says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy that he knew was coming, he faced the iron nails and the stone cold grave. By faith in the promise of God, he had the power to overcome the very depths of evil on the cross. Now we have seen and we continue to see all kinds of evil around us, and we wonder, what can we do? Do we march in a protest as we had here? Well, that maybe we need to take a knee or something. Do we get rid of the police? Is that a thing? No, it's not a thing, by the way. We are like those stumbling around in the dark, lashing out at everything we happen to bump into, and we act like we don't have any answers when all along we have it given to us here in the scriptures. Solomon tried everything. He tried it all. He found it all empty and vain. In the end, it was meaningless. But through it, he made a discovery, faith in God, obedience to his word. That's the answer. With it comes the power to overcome. By the word of God, we overcome. Whether it is through a time of a virus, through racism, or anything else in between. Even a broken heart. It is to the word of God that Solomon has now pointed us at the end. Words given by one shepherd. So don't think that we don't have the answer, because in fact, we have the only answer. Today, conclusion of the matter. The riddle of life is solved. How about that? That final road that Solomon found. And once you found it, you too are going to find power to overcome, as Jesus did. power to overcome the evil and suffering in your life, the trials and tribulations that you face, and then joy will be the consecrating gift that flows from it and brings it all together. And so today, joy is offered to you. Today, treasure is found. Let's go for it. The end of the matter is where we're going to start. The end is our beginning. This is verses 13 and 14. All have been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed to judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. So where is the power? The joy. The victory. Here it is. Phrase. Here it is. Believe what God has said. Trust and obey. That's the road. At the end of the day, after all the questions, confusions, after all the marching, after all the social distancing, after the pain and sorrow, the toil and suffering, it all boils down to this one great thought. Believe what God has said. All the power you ever need can be found right there. This phrase contains in it all that you need to walk in power, victory, and joy. So that's the message. God has addressed everything that you may struggle with in your life. He has addressed it. He has. Not always in the manner that we would like, that is true. But rest assured, He has addressed every one of your problems and He has given us the answer that we need. You don't have to go somewhere else to find it. We have all we need for life and for godliness and what He has said. To fear God and keep His commandments. So, now we want to learn how to act on it. Part is over. Believe what God has said. Now we want to see how it works, what it means. Because I guess many of us really know how to do this. I struggle with it. In spite of this declaration, I'm guessing that most of your problems haven't just disappeared in the last 5 minutes. Mine haven't. So let's get as practical as we can. We'll apply it into three areas. After which I hope you will see a pattern and you will start to learn how to apply it. Every area of your life so that you can start to work at it and you can start to grow in areas where you have been stuck for so long. And I can tell you it's going to take time, but I can also tell you that it will work. That is a promise. So let's learn how to do it. And then we will conclude this great book of Ecclesiastes. So here's the first one. Shame. Feeling like a failure. We're going to start there. Many of us feel this way. Some of us are plagued with this feeling that we are failures, that all we've ever done is fail. The only thing I'm going to do in my life is fail. If people only knew who I really was, they would know that I'm just a failure. I can't measure up. I'm not holy like everybody else. I make things worse. Now this is a common experience as much as it may feel like you are the only one or that you are a special kind of failure. You're not. You're not special. Not at all. I assure you you're not alone. It's okay, I feel like a failure. And I've just been told that I need to believe that God has the answers there. So what has He said? Listen to what God is saying to you today. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose for them. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So what does God say? He says that His grace covers power and his will through your weaknesses. He says that you are strong even when you mess things up again. He says that he is for you. God says that in Christ, no amount of failing can make you a failure. He has removed your shame. Did you catch that? No amount of failing for the believer can make you a failure. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The fight that you have before you is not a fight for joy. We don't have to fight for joy. We fight for faith. We fight to believe what God has said. When we come to believe what God has said, we will know it by the joy that follows. Listen carefully. God says that as a Christian, no amount of failing can make you a failure. No matter how much of a mess you make things, you are not a failure. You will never be one. In Christ, you have already passed the test. You are welcome. You are loved and accepted. You belong. You measure up. And this is not vain reasoning. It's not an empty hope. Yes, we have to keep growing in repentance and holiness, because God has said that too. There is life to be lived. But your shame has been removed. Here is the end of the matter. Believe what God has said. How about guilt? There's another one. How many of us struggle with guilt over something that happened in the past, something that we did, something we didn't do? Secret hidden sins that drag us down to this very day, and you're rehashing it over and over in your mind. If only I had done it different. If only I had said something. If only I had not said anything. If only. And guilt paralyzes us. It keeps us from trying again. It keeps you from hoping. It keeps you from opening up your heart to others. It keeps you fearful and in prison. Guilt can crush the soul so that you remain fearful for your whole life, wanting so badly to dance but never having the courage to get out on the dance floor. What does God say about your guilt? What should we do with our guilt? Listen. Therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. He has said, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. He has said, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. What does God say? He says that in Christ, you are free from all guilt and condemnation. In Christ, he has forgotten your sins. Those that you remember day after day after day, he has removed them from you. Your sins are gone. You are guiltless. In Christ, you are pure and holy before him. In Christ. All that guilt and that fear and that shame are nothing but lies from the devil. They are make-believe. You are free. There is no weight on your shoulders anymore. There is no weight that has been placed upon your heart. He is pleased with you. He is not angry with you. He does not hate you. He's not out to get you. Rather, he has adopted you as his child. He loves you and he approves of you. There's no guilt upon you anymore. That is what he has said. Your trouble is not a lack of joy. Your trouble is not your personality. It's not the things that you're not good at. Your trouble is not that mountain of shame. It's not that burden of guilt. Your trouble is that you haven't believed what God has said. loves me? Does he really care? Is everything really going to be okay? Am I going to make it? All these questions and so many more plague our minds, and they cast a shadow of discouragement over our lives. Joy is in our hearts. We can't lift our heads or have courage, be brave, because doubt rotted out the foundation upon which we stand. Doubt leads to discouragement. Discouragement leads to despair. What does God say? Fear not. Fear not. I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. God wanted to make the untold nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of his promise. That's to you. You are the heirs of the promise. When he wanted to make something very clear to you, he guaranteed an oath. Thus, by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we have fled to take hold of the hope set before us, may be strongly encouraged. What does God say? He says that he will be with you through everything. He will be your God. He will be your helper. He will hold you up through the fiercest trial. He cares about you. He cares about your heart. He cares about your fears. He cares about your life. And he has sworn an oath to protect you and to keep you. God cannot lie. It is sure. Your problem is not your weakness. It's not your doubts. Your problem is not your past, or whether the promises of God apply to you, because they do. Your problem is that you haven't believed that God isn't a liar. You haven't believed what God has said, that he has you, that you are forgiven and accepted. Not based on your performance or your past. It's not based on that. It is based on the fact that he cannot lie about that. It's based on his promise to save you. And he cannot lie about that. He loves you and has accepted you past and all. So our confusion, our lack of courage, your fear, ultimately your lack of joy, it's not because of God's displeasure with you. It's not because of your faith. It's not because of your circumstances. Rather, it is a result of us not believing what he has said. That he is pleased with you, and that he will help you get past your difficulties, your failings, your struggles, your broken heart, your fears, your trials and tribulations. Here is the end of the matter. Believe what God has said. Now, can you begin to see a little bit how this works? How you can apply this to every area of your life? Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the answer. Here it is. The answer to the riddle of life that Solomon was trying to figure out. At the end of it all, believe what God has said. So stop looking to your fears to see what is going on. Fear is a lie. Stop looking to your doubts and shame. They are false guides. They will only keep you bound in darkness. There is no light in them. You need the light of God's word. The light of God's promises to believe them. That's what you need to fight for. The end of the matter is to trust and obey. That's where the battle is. That's where the battle is. It's not to have everything figured out in your life. It's not to know all the details of what has happened to you in your past, what you did, what happened to you, why you are the way that you are. The battle is not to set every question before you act. It's not to know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. We waste so much of our lives fighting the wrong battles. Believer, You don't have to know everything, but you have to know that God loves you, because he does, and he is no liar. Believe that. You don't have to have everything figured out as much as we want. You don't have to have everything figured out, but you have to know that God is working it, whatever it is, whatever is happening to you, God is working it for your good, because he is. Believe that. You don't have to pretend to measure up. Rather, you need to know that in Christ you already do. You don't have to please man. You need to know that in Christ you have already pleased God. We have all we need for life and godliness here in his word. Believe that. You don't have to go anywhere else. The truth has been given to us. Our work is to believe it. Believe that God has seen the road. That's the road. Jesus did it. He faced many things that we fear. Rejection. Separation from God. Condemnation from God. Shame. Guilt. Those were all coming upon him. And what did he do? He believed what God had said. God's saying, joy and reward were waiting for him on the other side, and Jesus believed it. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured his cross, and he won the victory, he overcame. And he received the reward of his faith, eternal joy, his inheritance. And now it's our turn. The work that God has given us is this: to believe in the one whom he has sent. Jesus Christ, who is the very word of God. Believe what God has said. That's the answer. So we started this book with the cry of meaningless belief. And now as we come to the end, it all has been heard. What's the conclusion? Have you heard it? The echoes reverberate back from through the ages. Back to that one road. Back from down through the centuries. It comes to us. Listen to the shout of joy. From the other side of the grave, beyond the sun, comes the call to us who are still under it. Meaningful. Everything is meaningful. It matters. Our lives matter, everyone. For everyone to say God one day, and every knee will bow. Oh, that's true. Believe that God has said that everything will change your life. Ecclesiastes, now here is the key to doing what we just talked about. Here's the key. You have to talk about it. You have to talk to one another about it in your homes, with your friends, in the church especially, in the church especially, in the church especially. But wherever you go, you put your troubles on the table, whatever they are, and you ask the question, what has God said about that? You need to do this. Why? Because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing. If you are going to believe what God has said, if you are going to find this power, if you are going to find this joy, this victory, if you are going to see real change in your heart and work for real change in this world, you need to hear God's word. Faith comes by hearing. We need the word of God preached. We need it taught. We need it repeated over and again. Why? So that we may hear. We need to hear so that we may receive the gift of faith that comes through it. So we will be those who are not swept away with every wind that blows over our life. Those who know joy in the midst of the storm. Joy that cannot be challenged, it cannot be defeated, and it does not fail. So that we may truly know how to help this poor, lost, blind, and suffering world. It is here in the Word that you will find your answers for all of life. Further up and further in, you must believe what God has said. And these short goats will become of delights. This is the whole duty of man, and joy is the promise for those who do. Meaningful, says the preacher. Everything is meaningful. So now, if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have put your trust and your hope in Him alone for the forgiveness of your sins, if you have believed, then you're invited to come now to the table of Christ and to feast upon this grace. Believe that. The Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed,